And the S&P 500 dove again today, following news of President Trump's travel ban. The ban affects most travel from the European Union, and it goes into effect this Friday. But already, some health experts are wondering if this is really a good idea. For more, let's bring in Helen Branswell. She writes about infectious diseases for the medical news publication Stat. Welcome.
Hi, Tanya.
So, Helen, your thoughts about this travel ban. Is it a good idea? Will it help?
Maybe a little. Europe is lighting up. The numbers are rising in a number of countries there. I mean, Italy has had a big problem for a couple of weeks now, but France and Spain and Germany, the numbers are climbing. So, you know, it is a concern. But closing the doors to Europe sort of predisposes that what's on the other side of the closed door is coronavirus free, and that's simply not the case. There's lots of it in the country already, and so it's not like this is going to throw up a force field around the United States.
And you bring up a good point that we can't state enough, and that's the fact that we really don't know the number of cases here in the United States because we have not tested as extensively as places like Italy.
Right. So, you know, I'm just looking at a dashboard that the Johns Hopkins University is maintaining, sort of showing cases around the world. And the United States has fewer cases than Germany, France, and Spain, but, you know, it's not that much different. And that's with very little testing going on. We're labs and around the country able to test as many people as they could, the numbers might look entirely different.
What do we know from history? Has there been other outbreaks where we saw travel restrictions either work or fail?
Sure. So, you know, in 2003, people might remember the SARS outbreak. I was based in Toronto then, and Toronto was one of the places that had a major outbreak. Transmission of the virus from person to person was stopped and it effectively melted back into nature. And one of the reasons it could be contained was because travel dropped off. But another was that people who contracted SARS weren't really infectious until a few days into their illness. That's not the case with this virus. With this virus, people are infectious really from the point where they start to develop symptoms and maybe even for hours, a day or so beforehand. So containing something like this is very, very difficult. And using the SARS model here would not really be a good approach to take. It's just not the same bug at all.
We should mention that the U.S. isn't the only country limiting travel from abroad. Australia, Japan, and Italy have all put into place restrictions too. If we know they're not that effective, why do countries keep trying them?
Well, part of it's about buying time. You know, one of the goals is to slow things down. And so if you can slow down the rate at which the wave of cases hits your hospital systems, if you can make that wave smaller in any kind of way, that is helpful. That helps your systems to cope. You know, there was just a recent study published in the journal Science by researchers at Northeastern University in Boston. They looked at the issue of travel restrictions from China, and what they concluded was they only buy a little bit of time, but if you layer them with public health measures, things like canceling mass gatherings, telling people to telework if they can, closing schools if that's an effective tool, that the jury on that one is still out, that you know, the combination of the two, the synergy of the two could really have an impact. But here we're not yet seeing sort of an attempt to link those travel restrictions with aggressive public health measures on the ground in multiple parts of the country.
That's Helen Branswell. She writes about infectious diseases for Stat. Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.